I want to invite you to open up your Bibles with me now to the book of Proverbs chapter 3, a word for our graduates this morning. Many of you probably don't even need to open your Bibles today because you've got this one memorized. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Back when I graduated from high school with Fred and Barney, my mom and dad asked that people not give me graduation gifts, but instead they gave me this little book. And they asked people, instead of giving me a gift, to give me their wisdom, to send me words of wisdom for the graduating young man. And they put it all in this little book. And I would bet that at least 25 people mailed me these two verses as my graduation present. You may have it memorized in the King James. I'm going to read it to you in the NIV. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight." Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for our graduates. Thank you for their accomplishments, for getting them to this place. It's exciting to see them take that big step from public school and graduating into the next phase of their life. We pray, Father, for encouragement for them and joy for their families and for a great celebration. Thank you, Lord, for this proverb, for these two verses, that the wisdom that they contain from Professor Solomon for us. Help us, Lord, to take it in this morning and have it affect not just our graduates' lives, but all of ours. And we pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus, who was and is wisdom personified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If our little Mitchell family had a theme song, it would be Trust and Obey. Every night around bedtime, we have prayer together, and right after the Amen comes that song. Okay, we just sing the chorus. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, we've sung it so many times that sometimes we don't sing it regular. You know, sometimes it kind of comes out like a rap. And I won't bother you with that one today. Or it's high-pitched voices or low-pitched voices or kind of the syncopated craziness. And sometimes we sing it regular. But we almost always sing it. In my estimation, we've sung it together at least 4,000 times. That's our theme song. I want it burned into the hard drives of our hearts. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's going to be the title of our message today, is Happy in Jesus. There we go. Happy in Jesus. As I was thinking about our graduates, Maylee, Jacob, Hunter, Nathan, Taylor, Drew, especially our high school graduates, I was thinking how much I want that for them, for you, to be happy in Jesus. That's the whole point of our church. We exist to glorify God by bringing people into a life-changing love relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to help people to become happy in Jesus. So if I could give you some pastoral counsel as you graduate from high school and head into adulthood and independence and life, I'd boil it down to these three words: trust, obey, and pray. Trust, obey, and pray. And if you look on the back of your bulletin, you see there's 1, 2, 3. Those are the three. Trust, obey, and pray. And I think we'll get those from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I think that's Solomon's message. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. The first of those is trust. Solomon says we need to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. To trust Him means to place our confidence in Him. It means to bank on Him, believe in Him, have faith in Him, rest in His promises, count on Him, depend on Him, reckon on Him, hope in Him. Trust in Him. And Solomon says to do that with how much of our hearts? All. A-L-L. The whole kit and caboodle. What is our heart? The heart, if you remember, is the real you. It's the inside you. It's the you inside of you. It's the authentic you. It's the control center of you. The heart is the vital worshiping center of our lives. We live out of our hearts. And this proverb's wisdom is to call us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, holding nothing back. Does that sound good? There's only one problem with this plan. It doesn't always seem like the right thing to do. Often, trust in the Lord seems like a foolish thing to do, given the circumstances. As you and I eyeball a situation, it seems like trusting the Lord in this situation might be the pious or religious or righteous thing to do, but not the thing that would, verse 6, make our path straight. Anything but. Maylee, Jacob, Hunter, Nathan, Drew, you right now might be in a situation where it doesn't seem prudent to trust in the Lord. You know that's the right answer. That's the one they want on the test. Trust the Lord. But it doesn't feel like it. You know what I mean? Solomon did. That's why he wrote the second half of verse 5, "And lean not on your own understanding." Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Do you know what an artificial horizon is? I bet that Blair does and Wally does. Any other pilots among us? Or people who love pilots? An artificial horizon is the gizmo in the airplane. I know this because I read it somewhere, okay? The artificial horizon is the gizmo in an airplane that tells the pilot when the wings are level with the ground. As I understand it, the problem is one of inertia. Inertia makes things a little harder to figure out when you're flying. Did you ever notice that a full cup of coffee doesn't spill when the plane turns, even if the wings are perpendicular to the ground? Coffee won't spill. A magazine will drop straight to the floor. Flight attendants will walk upright down the aisle as if the plane were level, all because of inertia. Pilots are subject to inertia too, aren't they, Blair? When flying through clouds or fog, which prevent them from seeing the horizon, pilots cannot feel the plane's wings beginning to bank to the left or right. In fact, I read this week that in the early days of flight, pilots followed the myth of instinct. They believed they could feel the turn. And when their planes were accidentally engulfed in fog or clouds, many banked unknowingly into a spiral dive that ended in a crash. Pilots quickly came up with the statement, "Instinct is worse than useless in the clouds." So to fly through clouds, pilots must use this gizmo called the artificial horizon. The artificial horizon is an instrument which is gyroscopically steadied line that stays level with the Earth's surface and unerringly indicates when the wings are banking left or right. You've heard the phrase, trust your instruments, right? The artificial horizon revolutionized flying, but when it was first invented, pilots resisted using it. Why? Because the biggest problem flyers had was self-trust. They trusted their feelings more than their instruments. So you see where this illustration is going? We all have that problem too. We all want to judge our own path. We want to be self-reliant, self-trusting. I know what I'm doing. But Solomon says, to have a straight path, you must learn to trust the actual horizon, not the artificial horizon, but it's the Lord, the authentic horizon of the Lord Himself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because you see, everyone's trusting something. Whether it's in ourselves or our families or our government or our bank accounts or our education or our wits or our charm, everyone is trusting in something. But God says in Proverbs 3:5 that if you want a straight path to God's best destination for you, it will require faith, total faith in Him. That's faith in a personal God. This is not just some generic faith. I want you to have faith. Not faith in faith. Not faith in some impersonal creator force. But who does it say to trust in? The Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. Whenever you see that capital L-O-R-D in your Bible, it stands for the Hebrew word Yahweh. Or Jehovah, we say. that's hiding there in the original Hebrew text. Because this is not just any God. This is the God of the Bible. This is the personal God who revealed Himself to Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David. This is the God who supremely revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. The New Testament calls Jesus Lord because He is this God of verse 5 of Proverbs 3. So on this side of Jesus' coming, we could read this verse, "Trust in the Lord Jesus with all your heart." That's how to be happy in Jesus. Trust. That's the heart response that brings salvation. If you are not yet a Christ follower yourself, trust in the Lord Jesus is what we say to you on this graduation Sunday. The Lord Jesus is imminently, preeminently trustworthy. His death and resurrection make Him the way to God for all who put their faith in Him. On the night that He was betrayed, on the night before Jesus died, He told His followers, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me." So if you're not yet a Christ follower, I challenge you, I invite you, I plead with you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now before we move to number 2, I want to talk to you about that big bullseye looking thing on the back of your bulletin. Okay? If you're looking at that, it looks kind of like this. You're probably wondering where you're supposed to be putting your notes for this message. This bullseye is your life. Okay? Looks kind of boring, doesn't it? This is your life. It's everything that's important to you, graduates, as you graduate in school in 2014, or for the rest of us as we live our life in 2014 and beyond. This is your life. Now, there are two main things in your life that these two concentric circles represent. Let's let the outside circle represent things that I'm concerned about. Okay? Things that I'm concerned about. And let's let this inside circle represent things that I'm responsible for. Okay? Things that I'm concerned about and things that I'm responsible for. The outside circle is a circle of concern. The inside circle is a circle of responsibility. You may have seen this drawing before. I like to use it often. Sometimes the big circle is the circle of concern, and the little one is the circle of control or the circle of choice. So what do we put in these different circles? Well, lots of stuff. In fact, most everything you will encounter after graduation, except for maybe those things that are part of your life but you don't know about them, we won't worry about those. Let's talk about what we do know about. Let's put the economy in one of these circles. Where would we put the economy? Circle of concern, right? How many are concerned about the economy? How many graduates today are concerned about how many jobs there are out there? Now let's put in the middle circle, which maybe should be even a lot smaller if we're trying to be perfectly accurate. Let's put managing of personal finances. Okay, so you see, the economy big, managing of personal finances small. And that by that I mean saving, spending, giving. The three basic things that we do with money. Saving, spending, giving. Okay, so you see how this goes? There are things we're concerned about, and they truly affect us, but we can't do much about those things. These things, the smaller things, are something we can do something about and should. Okay, does that concept make sense? Everybody with me? Got the two circles in your head? Okay. Now, what do you think is supposed to be our response, our relationship to the circle of concern? I'll give you a hint. It's point number 1 on your outline. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The economy. The relationship between our nation and others. The other side from you in any relationship. The other cars on the road. What someone else thinks about you. Whether there'll be jobs out there when you graduate. All kinds of stuff will come at you and you will care. And the heart response that God wants from you is trust. Make sense? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, do we always leave those things in the big circle up to God? You might, but I don't. I like to try to take over God's job. I like to help Him out by either trying to manipulate things or people, never a wise choice, or by a simple little thing I do to help God that I call worrying. It's my superpower. But God has never been impressed by my worry. Sometimes, often, trusting requires repentance. Trust. Now, this smaller inner circle, this circle of responsibility, what do you think our response should be to the things that are in that circle? Remember, this is the circle of things in my life that I can and should do something about. The circle of responsibility is a circle in which I, what? It's going to be point number two on your outline. Obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, strangely enough, I try to downsize this circle. I don't know about you, but I try to take God's job in the big circle, but I shirk my responsibilities in the inner circle. I try to make those God's job and not mine. So let's use the finances for example. I say, well, I'm not going to rein in my personal spending. I'll just trust God to supply. That's not faith, though, is it? That's presumption. You see how subtle that can be? We want to take over God's job, but we don't want to do our own. But God says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, I don't know all of what that obedience will look like for each of you graduates as you head off into life. I don't know what this will look like for you. God has a plan tailor-made for each of us. But the Bible is His Word to all of us, and it applies to all of us. And so I want to suggest some areas where I think obedience may be the new path that we might need to take. Let me briefly suggest six areas to consider. Number one, get baptized. Get baptized. Some of you are adult followers of Jesus Christ who have never been baptized as faith followers of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's disobedient. The Lord Jesus Himself was baptized, and He Himself asks us to follow Him. I think it's a matter of obedience or not, whether we follow Him in the waters of baptism. Now, I'm not suggesting that you rush into it, but I am suggesting you look into it. If you've not yet been baptized as a faith follower of the Lord Jesus, I know that some of our graduates are doing just that right now. It's a matter of obedience. Don't wait for a voice to whisper in your ear. Read your Bible and follow. We're going to be holding some more baptism classes, and I'd love to see many of you, not just these graduates, make a public profession of your faith in Jesus Christ in the way that He's called us to. Number two, get into the Bible. Get into the Bible. You knew I was going to say that, didn't you? What do you think are in all these bags we gave our graduates today? There's a Bible in there. God is calling us to read and study and ingest and digest His holy Word. You're never done with that school. The Bible says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the Word of truth. So get into the Bible. It's a matter of obedience. Number three, get to church. Get to church. Church is not optional for Christians. It doesn't save you, neither does baptism or Bible reading, but it is mandatory. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I think that a lot of high school graduates make a big mistake by not finding a church to get involved in during their college experience. And don't just go on Sundays. Get into a small group, a study group, a fellowship group. Get truly connected. It's a matter of obedience, whether or not you're in church and worshiping and learning and fellowshipping. We can't have a take-it-or-leave-it approach to the body of Christ. Number four, get to giving. Get to giving. If you haven't already, you're going to start making money. It won't feel like much money if you have to spend it on books and tuition and travel to and from school. But I would urge you to start now in giving away a portion of every paycheck. Because it never is easy to start. It gets easier to do as you do it, but it's never easy to start. And that too is a matter of obedience. The Bible says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The amount is not near as important as the act of the heart in freeing your grip around the gift. It's a matter of obedience. Number five, get to serving. Get to serving. Some of us love to give of our funds, but not of our time. But the body of Christ and our communities need both. The Apostle Peter says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Using your gifts in ministry is not optional. It's a matter of obedience. So graduates, don't just go to church somewhere. Serve that church. Be a blessing to that church. Whether you go away to college or whether you stay here. What are you going to do in ministry right now? And number six, get to sharing Jesus. Get to sharing Jesus. Get busy with evangelism. Get to witnessing. There's a lost world out there that needs to hear the gospel. It's our job to take the gospel to our friends, neighbors, family, co-workers, and everyone else. Get to sharing Jesus. It's a matter of obedience. Jesus himself said that we should share the gospel with the whole world, and he's expecting us to do it. Whether you're away at college or in a summer job or with your family or wherever God has planted you, it's a matter of obedience. Who have you shared the gospel with recently? Who are you praying for to share the gospel? Get to sharing Jesus. It's a matter of obedience. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, you may have a different set of biblical commands that God is laying on your heart to fulfill. Wasn't in the six. Maybe there's a seventh, an eighth, a ninth that God is speaking to you about. Maybe yours is to forgive somebody or to start discipling someone or something else. Regardless, it's a matter of obedience. Trust and obey. Now, I want to point something else out about this circle. If we can get the circle again. I want to point something else out. Notice where the circle of responsibility lies. Okay? Where is it? Is it inside or outside of the circle of concern? It's inside, right? That means that these things that we're called to do, be responsible for, be obedient in, are not just supposed to be done in obedience, but also things we're supposed to be trusting God for. The obedience that God requires from us is a faith-based obedience. It's a trusting obedience. It's trust and obey, not just one or the other. In fact, all true obedience requires trust. So where is obedience in our proverb? Look down at verse 6 in your Bible. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, when we use that word acknowledge, it doesn't just mean to say, hi. Hi, Jesus. Okay, that's sometimes what we mean by acknowledge. Like, hey, Jesus, how you doing? Props to Jesus. Shout out to Jesus. I acknowledge Him. He's there. No, this means that in everything we do it His way. To do it to His honor. To His glory, to His acknowledgement. In other words, it means to obey. And more than that, it means to obey in a trusting way, a personally trusting way. The word acknowledge here means to know. It means to know in a personal way. So we talk about a personal relationship with Jesus, a walking, talking, personal trusting and knowing of the Lord in all our ways. And that's why I add the word pray. Trust, obey, and pray. May Lee, Jacob, Hunter, Nathan, Drew, God is calling us to prayer. Praying about everything, about the lost, about our concerns, about our responsibilities. Notice this. Everything in this bullseye can be prayed for. Everything in this bullseye can be prayed for. Those things that concern us but we can't do anything about, actually we can do something about them. We can pray about them and then leave them in God's hands. Those things God wants us to do but we're not sure if we want to, we can pray about that too. Lord, I don't want to obey. Help me. James says in his letter, if is any one of you in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? Pray for him too. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. In other words, pray about everything. So May Lee, Jacob, Hunter, Nathan, Drew, do you have a time every day that you set aside to talk to Almighty God? Do you have a list of things and people that you're praying for? If you don't, now is a good time to start. Trust, obey, and pray. And what happens? What does verse 6 say? Blessing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. That means you'll get to your destination. Does that mean there'll be no bumps on the road? Is that what straight paths mean? No. Doesn't mean no bumps. But it does mean straight paths. You will get where God wants you to be. And when you're there, and along the way, you'll be happy in Jesus. Trust, obey, and pray. Let's do that together. Father, thank you for May Lee and Jacob and Hunter and Nathan and Taylor and Drew, and for Emily and Holly and all of their sense of accomplishment for this milestone in their life. We celebrate with them. And we pray that their lives would, and our lives would be characterized by Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That we would trust in you with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, we would acknowledge you so that you would make our paths straight. We pray for anyone here who has not yet trusted in Jesus for salvation. They'd start there. Turning away from sin and trusting in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He did for us on that cross, and how gloriously He has rescued us and given us new life through His resurrection. We pray, Father, for anybody here who needs to do that they would simply, in their heart, turn away from their sin and put their faith down on Jesus Christ with all of their heart. And I pray that all of us would be obedient to what we know you want us to do. So often, Lord, we want to shrink that circle of responsibility and say, well, God will just take care of that. Instead of doing what we know you want us to do. Help us, Lord, not to get caught up in doing things we know you don't want us to do. But even more, Lord, help us to be about your work. I pray that our graduates would set disciplined lives of obeying you in everything. And help us, Lord, to trust you, obey you, and pray to you to take all of our life, the things we care about or are concerned about, as well as the things we know we're supposed to do, and to give them over to you, to give our hearts to you in prayer. Because you are so trustworthy with all of our prayer requests. You have wisdom, you have power, you have love. And it's when we trust and obey that we're happy in Jesus. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.